This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland, and Out Loud Radio. My name is Natalie Marie. Welcome to the show. You got a good show lined up for you tonight. The studio has literally been taken over by queer youths in the area, so stay tuned for lots to hear from them. But before we get to that, I'm going to do some brief announcements. First on the agenda is Friendly House has announced that they are officially springing forward with a new Community Concierge program. Community Concierge will help older adults live independent, active lives and provide peace of mind for their families who can depend on us for reliable, compassionate, high-quality care. The program offers a wide range of in-home services for adults 60 and better who reside on Portland's west side. For more information, the Community Concierge actually will do work such as yard work to help the aging community, cleaning their closets, preparing meals, providing handiwork, and running errands. So for more information, if you want to help or you know someone who needs help, or if you know someone who has a loved one who needs help, you can call 503-935-5280 or visit the Community Concierge website. In other news, the third annual Queer Students of Color Conference will be taking place at PSU April 12th through the 14th. Portland State University's Queer Resource Center, a Department of Enrollment Management and Student Affairs at PSU, are pleased to announce the third annual Queer Students of Color Conference. It's at Portland State Smith Memorial Student Union. This year's conference theme is Radical Self-Care and the Decolonized Mind. Special guest will include Mia McKenzie, best known for her quirky, passionate anti-oppression and community building, bold Tumblr for queer women and trans people of color, Black Girl Dangerous. Also, other featured events will include the Unheard Project exhibit, Vivek Shraya introducing his new film and book, What I Love About Being Gay, and Portland premiere showing of Harjant Gill's critically acclaimed Milan Soman Made Me Gay. There'll be workshops, panels, scholarships, and community building all weekends long. And then in other news, we're going to be talking about the 2013 Oregon Queer Youth Summit, which will take place Saturday, May 11th at Jefferson High School. We'll be getting into that a little bit more in detail later, so stay tuned. Also, we'll be talking a little bit about the Day of Silence coming up and more information you can get about participating or getting merchandise associated with that from GLSEN. Lastly, I just want to announce a shout out and an ask for Basic Rights Oregon. Actually, the Our Families Project, the Our Families cohort, part of the Racial Justice Project of Basic Rights Oregon. They're hard at work right now to organize support for a House bill that would require cultural competency and diversity training for healthcare providers and to ensure that those providers are maintaining standards of care. Two of the groups are working specifically right now with individuals in the community. The base building group is asking for straight leaders of color to come forward and show support. And the story collection team is asking for submissions from individuals. So if you have a story or you can relate an experience that you would like to share, either publicly or privately, you should get in contact with us. So we need these voices and these perspectives to be able to build support to share with legislatures as they try to move the bill forward. Just experience with healthcare and diversity and how maybe cultural competency and diversity training would have made access to your healthcare better, or your needs, or how that affected you. Personal experiences they're looking for. So if you would like to help out or submit a story or talk about your experience, please get into contact with Basic Rights Oregon via their website, or you can email me at outloudradio@gmail.com and I'll put you in touch with the right people. Also, one last thing from Basic Rights Oregon, there is the Bromance fundraiser coming up at the end of the month. Last week we heard some music from Sneakin' Out and Ashley Flynn, who are going to be participating in that event, playing some music. Tonight we'll hear from Storm Large and The Cabin Project, a few selections. So sit back and enjoy the show. But right now, we're going to jump into a little discussion with some folks from the living room. And before I get started, why doesn't everybody just go around the room and introduce yourself, say who you are, how you identify, and what your involvement looks like, why you're here. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Helen, and I'm with Yak and the living room, and I identify as a girl with girl pronouns.
Hey there, I'm Enrique. I am also a member of the Youth Advisory Council, which is YAC. I identify as a male, male pronouns, and yeah, I've been with the Living Room and Youth Advisory Council for at least a year now, so.
Hi there, my name is Kelly. I'm the Program Director and Vice Chair of the Board for the Living Room, and it's great to be here.
Great.
Hey there, this is Brenda. I'm the program coordinator at the Living Room. I've been here for just about 2.5 years, and I oversee the Youth Advisory Council, and I get to work with these awesome folks that are here.
Awesome. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. And I say taking over... Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, and I say taking over the studio, but I've definitely invited them here, and I'm glad to have them in here. So thank you and welcome, and please feel welcome. I just wanted to start out asking really quick, could you tell me a little bit about the Living Room, people that aren't familiar about it, somebody who would like to speak to what the Living Room is?
Sure, this is Brenda. The Living Room is a safe haven for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning youth and their allies. We serve youth ages 14 to 20 in Clackamas County, and we do that through drop-in programming. We are also out in the schools doing outreach with the Gay Straight Alliance clubs and other diversity clubs. And we also do that through some really fun events, which we're going to talk about in just a second. One of the big ones coming up is our alternative prom.
Great. And I heard mention of the YAC, the Youth Advisory Council. Would you like to speak about that? What is the YAC?
So this is Enrique. Youth Advisory Council is a small council or board of the youth that have started off with drop-in with the Living Room and decided to take a leadership role. And we meet every other Friday and basically plan events and plan the drop-in schedules. Big events are usually like our alternative prom that's coming up. But we also plan like wellness programs that we have with drop-in and the different events and guests that we'll have come to drop-in. So
great. And what does drop-in typically look like on a daily routine? You said you plan events, different things. But what's happening daily when people are hanging out?
Hi, this is Helen. Drop-ins usually youth coming after school, and we hang out and we either talk or we have board game nights, or you know, we watch movies, or I like it just because we get to hang out and it's safe and I can just talk about my day or what's bothering me or not.
Cool. And just to get a little more information about that for other youths out there listening, How do people get involved? How do you participate? The drop-in is, I guess it's open. People can just, anybody?
Yeah, this is Enrique again. So drop-in, and I don't know why our symbol is a couch, but it's very chill. Drop-in is a very...
What's the living room?
That's, yeah.
That's where it goes.
Oh. I don't think about these things.
I just thought of it.
No, but anyways, drop-in is usually really chill. It's usually only open to the youth between 14 to 20. And then we have trained volunteers that are also there. We usually have food, which is nice, especially for teenagers. But it's usually a very chill space. Our drop-in center that we have been graciously provided with is at the Atkinson Church in Oregon City. It's right next to the Carnegie Library. And yeah.
Cool. So anybody can show up between those ages and just come in?
Yeah, it's between 4 to 8 on Wednesday nights, and you can just show up, and we are in the lower room.
Cool. And what's the location again? One more time for everyone?
So our center is at the Atkinson Church. It's a big pink church in Oregon City across from the Carnegie Center Library that's right there. Brenda, would you like to...
The address, Brenda?
Oh, yeah, I got that.
So people can write it down.
So the address of Atkinson Church, which is where we hold our drop-in for the living room in Clackamas County, is 710 6th Street.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful, thank you. And just to get like a little bit more of an intimate story, a more personal story, I guess, would either of you care to speak about your involvement or how you get involved, or just so people can see what that does look like for people in the community?
Yeah, this is Helen. This is my first year really getting involved. I came out this year, and
yay.
I started, yeah.
Round of applause.
Enrique actually told me about it, and I started getting involved, and then my mom became a certified volunteer, and I just keep going every Wednesday, and it's so much fun. I love it. I'm so glad I found it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been with Youth Advisory for around a year, but I've been with Drop-In longer. I was introduced to the living room from my sister and all of her friends, or not all of her friends, but they would go to drop-in, and I found out what the program was and decided to come hang out one night, and I've been there almost ever since. A few months on and off, I'll be too busy with, school and stuff, but yeah. I've been going to drop-in, and then that's how I found out about Youth Advisory Council.
Wonderful. Yeah. Awesome. So, I feel like we spoke a little bit about kind of like what the programs and services are, and I think most times people take it for granted how important those are to the community. I mean, I know I do as, a queer person of color, especially with having access to services and things, especially for youth, that's something that's important. But maybe to open that up a little bit or unpack it a little bit, could you tell me or speak to why that sort of service is important or why it's important to you? I think I'm more interested in hearing personally from, somebody who identifies.
Hi, this is Helen. It's important to me because without accepting myself, I went a couple of times, and it opened me up to it and opened me up to being comfortable with it. And I can go there and be fully comfortable without maybe being comfortable like at school and places like that. And so it's really important just to know that there is a safe place out there that you can go, and it's youth and people who are there for the same exact reason as you are.
Cool.
This is Enrique. Drop-in and the living room in general is just a really important resource for youth in Clackamas County because there's not a lot of resources, especially in Oregon City, that are available like this. If I am having a bad day and just, have gotten harassed or whatnot, and I come into drop-in and there's people to talk to, there's people that understand my problems and understand how they can help. Especially for like queer youth, one of the things is the living room is really important because, I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of other programs, especially that I know of, that are available. And being one of the only ones, we've got to, you know, kind of be out there for people. So
I definitely agree. Thanks, Enrique. That's exactly what I was trying to get at the heart at, you know, and I definitely agree. It's a necessary resource for the community, and I'm glad that, you know, y'all are there doing what you do. Now, you came in here telling me about some sort of dance or prom thing, and so I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about this. What is going on? Go ahead.
So, this is Mika. our alternative prom is being held for probably the second or third year now, or more than that, at Clackamas Community College, and it's at the Gregory Forum, and we hold it every year, and this is one of the things the Youth Advisory Council plans. Helen and myself are on a lot of the planning committees or parts of it, but basically, our theme this year is a fantasy Alice in Wonderland theme. It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's Saturday, April 27th. And it'll be from 7 to 11 p.m.
Mark your calendars. And who's invited to the prom? Who gets to come?
So basically, it's free for all GLBTQ youth and allies. Ages 14 to 20, so it's a lot like our drop-in program. It's primarily, or it's only for the youth. So, I mean, if parents are coming, just more like coming to pick up and drop off, not coming and staying with the youth.
Yeah, it's a prom. They're not invited.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about how this came about? What is the alternative prom? Where'd it come from? What's going on?
Cool. This is Brenda. So the alternative prom has been very pivotal in the formation of the living room. I was just talking with one of our co-founders, Carolyn, earlier today, and she was telling me how important prom is to our organization. So Carolyn was also the founder of PFLAG in Clackamas County, so parents, friends, and families of lesbians and gays, alongside a woman named Marion. And one of the first events that they held as PFLAG was this alternative prom back in 2007. So this has actually been going on for several years in Clackamas County. The first few years we had, you know, anywhere from 40 to 100 youth show up. And that was big because nobody could tell us that there's not queer youth in Clackamas County because they're showing up for this prom. And in our third year in 2009, there was a survey that was put out through prom asking the youth, would you like a queer resource? Would you like a queer resource center in Clackamas County? And of course they said yes. And so that's the same year that the living room was founded. In August of 2009, there was a community meeting, and we all, you know, they all decided that this is important and this needs to be here. And of course, we've continued that alternative prom tradition throughout the years, and I think it just keeps getting better and better.
Awesome. Well, it sounds definitely exciting, and I'm glad that you all are doing that and can help provide that, you know, that service for the community. So is this taking place? I'm kind of like out of the loop because I haven't been in school for a long time or anything, but like, well, I'm in school, but I don't get to go to prom anymore. So is this taking place in like kind of like an alternative setting as like, I guess, reflected with the other prom that people typically go to?
Hi, this is Helen. The alternative prom, from what I've gathered, because I actually haven't attended it yet, this will be my first year, right. Is like school, but more of a low-key setting and a safer, more for, I mean, you know, we have to be respectful and think of other people around us, but it's going to be more low-key and not like policing your gender expression. You don't have to worry about having your date or having a date or whatever, and you can dress in pants, you can dress up as the theme, you can do, it's much more relaxed, and yeah.
Cool. So Alice in Wonderland, huh?
Yeah, and this is actually going to be my second year. It's a lot, like Helen was saying, it's a lot more accepting of a prom. And you don't really even need to bring a date because you meet so many cool new people. But I mean, it's really fun setting. This year we're going to be having, for our second year, we're going to be having, DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid, DJ for us, nice. Which is super exciting. And we're also having, a catering company in Gladstone, so nearby, for us in Oregon City. Two Girls Catering is the company, and they're very, very generous company who are going to be catering meals for the youth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on, nice. Okay, so tell us one more time, how do people find out more about it? How do they get involved? Where is it at? Or how can they come down and participate? Whoever, anyone.
This is Kelly. I'm just going to give a shout out to the Living Room in general. If anyone wants to learn about our prom or any of our events or becoming a Living Room volunteer or donor, our website's www.thelivingroomyouth.org.
Wonderful. And if people are interested in getting involved with the YAC program, Youth Advisory.
This is Brenda. A lot of our contact information is right there on our website, thelivingroomyouth.org, or you can email thelivingroomcoordinator@gmail.com. And I also, while I'm here, I just want to make sure I give a shout out to some other organizations and people that are helping with prom. Happy Rock Coffee in Gladstone is providing coffee and tea for prom and has for many of our other events. So thanks, Lisa. Clackamas Community College, the LGBTQ Straight Alliance there has really helped us out in connecting us to the college, both for our GSA Summit and for prom this year and last year. And so we really just want to say thanks to all you out there.
Yes, and thank you. And thanks to everybody for coming into the studio today. You heard of all those organizations and all those services who are showing support. So go out there and support them too, because they support Oregon queer youth. So thank you. Thank you everybody for coming down. And
thanks for having us, Emily.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And anytime, you know, come on back or send them down here, you know. So now we're gonna listen to a track entitled Boom Boom. The artist is Storm Large, and they're going to be, as I said, being featured playing at the Basic Rights Oregon fundraiser Bromance towards the end of the month. For more information on that, contact Bro.
Keep you in my room. Feel my heart go boom, boom, boom. it's great and hey.
Once again, that was Storm Large and their track Boom Boom. Storm Large are going to be playing at the Bro Fundraiser Bromance towards the end of the month. Stay tuned for more music from the fundraiser. And now the next group has invaded the studio to take over for Queer Youths. I am welcoming folks from Cascades AIDS Project and SMRC tonight. Awesome to come in and talk a little bit about the Oregon Queer Youth Summit that's coming up. Awesome. I'm so excited. Why don't we start just introducing the two of you. Go ahead. Whoever wants to start.
I'm Sammy.
Hey, Sammy.
Hello.
And I'm Edgar.
Edgar? Great. And what are your roles?
I am a volunteer at the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center, and I go to Pivot sometimes. And I also volunteer at KBO. I'm part of the youth collective, so I'm here weekly as well.
Oh, yay. So you're at home already.
Yeah.
You're like, I took this over long ago, Natalie. Awesome.
And I work for the Cascade AIDS Project. I work in our youth programming, and I work on prevention and doing education and events for folks under the age of 24.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in. Welcome. Welcome. So we're talking about the Oregon Queer Youth Summit. The 2013 is coming up. Who wants to start? Tell me about the Oregon Queer Youth Summit.
Well, the Oregon Queer Youth Summit is a annual event that is planned by youth and is mostly youth-oriented. And it focuses on identity, acceptance, youth empowerment, and social change. And basically, there's a bunch of, we have speakers that will provide speeches, and we get to, there's workshops that are youth facilitated, and we get to communicate and mingle with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning youth and allies.
Our theme this year is Dream It, Speak It, Do It, which really reflects our commitment to youth empowerment. And we want to really make sure that that's the goal and that's the reason why this summit exists. It's an opportunity for the community to come together, to talk to each other, to create space for rad youth leaders in their community to step up, show what they've been doing, show all their good work.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds great. I love it. I love the theme. That's what action looks like. You know, that's how it takes place. You dream it, speak it, and go out there and do it. You know, really, that's what we're trying to do. So there's a bit of a precedence for this, right? The Oregon Queer Youth Summit has been going on. What's the history behind this or background information? Does anybody?
So we've been doing this for, I think this will be our fourth year. And really the goal is just to create a space in the community that hasn't existed before, to create an opportunity for youth to really be the leaders. And that's why we exclusively allow youth to facilitate all of the workshops. The speakers are all going to be youth. Our keynote this year is an incredible author and activist named Sassafras Lowry, who's recently put out their book, Roving Pack, about their experiences at the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. So we're really excited to be able to bring someone back who has gone out into the wider world and done some really incredible things and produced some really great work, and to feature them, to show all that they've done, and to really put that out as an example that there are a lot of youth here in Portland and in the community that are doing a lot of the same work right now. And we think OCUS, the Oregon Queer Youth Summit, is a great, great place for those folks to go out and show what they've been up to.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds very, you know, very critical and important, you know, for the community to recognize, especially kind of brings it full circle too with the, with bringing them back in and talking to the new crew that's coming through.
Absolutely.
So yeah, definitely, definitely important. And Cascade's AIDS Project is a co-sponsor?
Yeah, Cascade AIDS Project will be serving as the prime fiscal sponsor for OCUS this year.
Oh, awesome.
We're the largest HIV services organization in the state of Oregon, doing housing, prevention, case management, support, community, and just opportunities for folks to get together and talk about their experience, and that's what OCUS is going to be.
Wonderful, wonderful. And okay, so the co-sponsors, Cascades AIDS Project, SMRC, also Oregon Safe Schools and Community Coalition is going to be involved as well, right? We'll hear more from them later too. They're also in the studio. What I wanted to ask was, where's it taking place? What's the location?
In the past few years, we held it at PSU, but this year there was some reservation complications. So this year we're hosting it at Jefferson High School.
So that's going to be one more time to say it's May 11th, 2013 at Jefferson High School from 8:30 to 5:30. And if folks are interested, if they'd like to register, if they'd like to participate as a volunteer or to do a workshop or even to apply to be a speaker, we'd love to feature you. We still have opportunities available. And all of that information can be found at chatpdx, that's chatpdx.org/OQYS.
And it's open to youth, right? Queer youth are primarily queer youth.
Yeah, so we offer the space for allies as well, so you don't have to be queer to attend the summit. But all workshops are going to be facilitated by youth under the age of 24 or co-facilitated by youth and an adult ally.
Awesome. That sounds great. I just want to ask just a little bit more, because I know there's a lot of youth in the community. You know, there's a lot of support right here in Portland, in Oregon, but in Portland in general. But I know it's a continuing issue, you know, and just speaking from personal experience, it's hard for people to get involved sometimes, or hard for them to feel comfortable coming out to one of these events or organizing. What would you say to somebody who is sitting there at the other end of the radio listening right now and thinking about it and just being like, you know, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what kind of people, you know, I'm going to interact with there. And I don't know if I'm comfortable enough to do this or to take this next step forward. I guess, is there a message or what would you say to youths that are considering being involved? Because this is, like we said, it's a great resource for information and for people to show their involvement and what that looks like in action.
In my opinion, the entire purpose of the summit is for us to have a time to come out together, to do something together. And we've really coordinated with organizations like Jefferson High School and their Gay Straight Alliance, OSSCC, and some of the other groups that have been mentioned today, to really create this big, proud space that's safe, that's you know, trans inclusive, that's respectful and equitable. And our program, our speakers, our workshops, the entire presentation of the summit is geared to create that safe environment. So I think that for folks who are wondering about, you know, is this the right time to come out and do something like this? OCUS is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to feature over 300 queer youth activists, allies, adult partners, organizations. It's a great community, and this is a really easy, good time to introduce yourself, to come out and see what's going on, to see what other youth are doing.
Great, excellent. And I know you mentioned one of the speakers, but would you care, do you have an idea for or a sense for what some of the workshops are looking like or what's going to take place there?
The workshops, some examples of workshops that have been facilitated in the past are such things like Trans 101 workshops. I have a friend and also a fellow volunteer at SMRC that has done a drag workshop for the past couple years. There's been an asexuality workshop. There has been a queer youth of color workshop. So it's all very diverse and very interesting, and you get a lot of really cool, really good, useful information.
From the fun stuff to the educational pieces, these workshops, there's going to be such a huge variety of them. I think this year we already have an application for GLBTQ Wiccan studies and associated themes. So there's an incredible range. There's an incredible amount of stuff going on. And there are still a few opportunities to apply to a BE facilitating a workshop. And that information is at chatpdx.org/OCUS.
chatpdx. That's how people get involved, and how, if they want to facilitate a workshop or be a speaker, chatpdx. You heard it, folks. That's the way to do it. Oregon Queer Youth Summit 2013, May 11th again at Jefferson High School. What was the times again?
It's going to be from 8:30 to 5:30. It's an all-day summit, and then we're going to be closing with a queer prom later that evening.
Another prom. Excellent. Where's the prom? Is it going to be at...
It'll also be at Jefferson High School, and I would like to say one final incentive for folks. We are offering a $60 honorarium for all workshop facilitators and a $50 honorarium for speakers. So if that gets you over the edge, we really encourage you to apply.
That's definitely the pusher right there. Get out there, get involved, you know. It sounds like a great opportunity, and I want to thank both of you for coming into the studio today to talk about this. Is there anything else you would like to say, maybe about SMRC, maybe how people can get involved with SMRC, if they're curious about that? Actually, let's do this, because I'm sure people are familiar with SMRC and what goes on it to some extent, but there's always new listeners, and there's always people that are like, SMRC, what's that? And maybe we haven't, I guess, unpacked that enough for them to say, what is SMRC? What happens there? You said you're a volunteer, and I just want to, could you relate a little bit about your experience and what is SMRC to you?
Well, SMRC is, again, the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center, and I haven't been going there for as long as some of my other fellow volunteers there, but in my experience, it's a place where you can, you know, be yourself, at that place I feel like, you know, my identity is respected. I feel very safe there. There's a bunch of really cool people that I can interact with, and oftentimes there's a bunch of really awesome events that happen there. Like, we have, you know, poetry slams and writing workshops, and there's an open mic night. So it's a really great place to be.
Nice. So from my understanding, it's a resource center similar to the living room we were just on. So
yes.
Providing services, and SMRC maintains a drop-in similar.
Yeah.
And that's where. Okay, great. Yes. Great. Awesome. Well, thank you again, both, for coming on the show tonight. And just one more time, that contact information for people to get involved with the Oregon Queer Youth Summit.
If you're interested in being involved in the Oregon Queer Youth Summit, or even just to attend, please go to chatpdx. That's chatpdx.org/OQYS.
Awesome. Thanks again. All right, now we're going to go listen to a song called Fidelity by The Cabin Project, another one of the featured artists at the Bro Fundraiser coming up, Bromance.
Thank you.
This is Natalie Marie, and we're back. Now in the studio, I have Glenn from the Oregon Safe Schools Communities Coalition. And on the phone, I should have Khalil from Portland PFLAG Black Chapter. Are you there, Khalil?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in tonight. So we're here to talk about some opportunities that are going on in the community, and I want to just give you both an opportunity to speak. So, Khalil, since I pulled you out of a meeting and wanted to make sure I had time to talk with you, why don't you go ahead and start? Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about PFLAG, maybe an overview or a history, and then what's going on with PFLAG. Just give us a little rundown.
Yeah, so like you said, my name is Khalil Edwards with PFLAG, Portland Black Chapter. We are one of the only African-American-specific chapters in the country, and we started in around 2009, one of the first in the country to start an African-American-specific chapter for LGBT African-Americans and our friends and family and loved ones. And what we do is a lot of advocacy work and support and education and resources for the community. We just celebrated our 4-year anniversary in February, but we have lots of annual events that we do throughout the year, and we're trying to build community amongst LGBT African Americans and our straight allies to really have a stronger, safer community that folks can really thrive in and feel accepted in.
That's great. That's awesome. And how do people typically get involved or come into contact with these programs?
The best ways to get involved are to you can find probably the best way is our website, which is www.pflagpdx.org. So that's pflagpdx.org, and it has information about when we meet monthly. We have like social gatherings monthly to come together and talk and share and offer that support to each other and just share what's going on in our world and our community and ways to move the chapter forward and the work that we're trying to do forward. So that's the best way to find out about those monthly meetings that happen, monthly meetings and social gatherings that happen the third Saturday of each month. And also to find out about our many other different events that we do throughout the year. We also have a Facebook page, which is PFLAG, Portland Black Chapter, and on the website you can find out how to connect with us through email, just to be looped in to our email list. And through email we connect folks with tons of different resources and just ways for us all to stay connected.
Awesome. Thanks, Khalil. Now I want to turn the mic over to Glenn just for a few minutes here and talk to me, Glenn, a little bit about Oregon Safe Schools Communities Coalition. Tell me about that. Tell me about your involvement.
Well, hello. I'm Glenn. Hello, Khalil. I am a board member of an organization called the Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition. And basically, that is a small nonprofit organization that believes that all youth deserve to feel safe and welcome in Oregon schools and communities. And so we do that through a 3-prong approach. Part of it is education, part of it is data collection, and part of it is offering support services. Our organization was started about 10 years ago. And like I said, we are a nonprofit, and so I sit on the board. And it started off from a handful of people who were all passionate about working with and identifying issues that were affecting queer youth. And that tended to be school counselors, people that were on the ground working in youth. And so our organization kind of stemmed out of that direct interaction with youth and still focuses a lot on that today. And so our organization was really focused on the starting of GSAs, gay straight alliances, because studies have shown that if there is a GSA at your school, which typically means that there is queer inclusive language in your handbook, that there is a concept that, oh, queer people exist and there's a place for them in the school, that students will hear fewer homophobic remarks. They will have fewer instances of violence, and just all these myriad benefits that people receive by having GSAs. And so that has always been one of our real priorities, is to make sure that our GSAs are supported, to work with organizations, say like GLSEN or PFLAG. GLSEN is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, that those people also are supported by us on the ground. We really see ourselves not always as the people who can do the heavy-hitting work, but the people that can support and collaborate with those organizations.
Great. And does the OSSCC work with lawmakers, legislatures, public entities, anything like that more, or besides the education?
Yeah, we sure do. Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition has always worked alongside organizations like Basic Rights Oregon. So say before 2009, when the Safe Schools legislation was passed, which was definitely on par with OGALA, Oregon's Gay and Lesbian Legal Association, and Basic Rights Oregon, there was really no legislation that was looking out for queer youth that specifically identified them and put in place a plan of action for schools and school districts to know what to do if something bad should happen, and how to promote good things to happen. And so we have often worked alongside policymakers. Members of Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition regularly go down to Salem to testify on behalf of legislation that we're fond of. And again, because we're just a small nonprofit organization, we don't have the resources to be the ones doing the lobbying, but we definitely want to strengthen the voice whenever we can, and certainly show our support with organizations that are doing that work.
Wonderful. And now, Khalil, I wanted to ask, because I've got you here on the line now, we're talking about PFLAG and their involvement. We've got an announcement here to make, too, tonight. I think the announcement was made just a couple of days ago, but we're talking about a mini grant program, and I just wanted to hear a little bit from you about PFLAG's involvement with this and how they became a part of this, or how this came about with PFLAG.
Yeah, our mini grant program is really exciting. It's just a way to offer support to gay straight alliances and LGBT youth and different groups that are focusing on that offer support to LGBTQ youth out here in Oregon. And we it was a partnership that came about with Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition with PFLAG Black Chapter and PFLAG Portland and OSSCC to really be another way to offer that support to youth. And so we started it last year and offered grants out to. We have a small, a very easy, simple application form that folks can access through Oregon Safe Schools Community Coalition or the PFLAG website. And it's just a way for youth to do some amazing things. And so some of the things that we have been able to grant have been just to support is just some amazing work that youth are able to do to promote that awareness of the issues that they're dealing with and to build more community amongst LGBT youth, like you know, social spaces and dances and community events that they want to do. To be active in Day of Silence or other events throughout the year that GSAs want to participate in. So it's really been a nice way for us to offer that support to different youth around the state.
Wonderful, Khalil. Thank you. And I just wanted to ask, because you mentioned the Day of Silence, and I want to make sure that people are aware of this as well. Can you speak a little bit to the Day of Silence, what that is and what that means?
Yeah, so Day of Silence is it's basically a day where for folks to it's a national youth-run effort, and it's using silence to protest the actual silence of LGBT people due to harassment and bias and abuse in schools. And so so often we know that that LGBTQ youth, you know, are experiencing harassment and unfair treatment and are just dealing with these harsh conditions like day in and day out in different school environments. And so, and all those different challenges that, that youth have to deal with. And so the Day of Silence really came out as a way for youth to kind of promote awareness around that and to really get other folks involved and into understanding some of the struggles that, that folks deal with and to really promote, raise awareness around the issues that folks have to deal with and to call attention to the silencing effect of anti-LGBT bullying and harassment in schools. So folks around the country, you know, vow to take a form of silence to call attention to that.
Thank you, Khalil. And Glenn, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the mini grant, of course. And let's unpack that a little bit. What is the mini grant? What does it look like? We know a little bit about what it's intended for. But first off, is this a new program? Is it a new thing, or has there precedence for this?
Like Khalil just said, the youth mini grants emerged about a year and a half ago, about probably 2011, okay, when it was identified between PFLAG, Portland PFLAG, and our organization that we were interested in kind of doing a similar work. And there might be a little more strength in the numbers to be able to offer that together. Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition is really in strong support of anything that is advocating for the safety and well-being and the health of queer youth. And we just heard from some folks who are organizing the Queer Youth Summit. We are a major fiscal donor for that. We also recently supported the Multnomah Youth Commission Summit Against Violence. And so we look at these mini grants as just another way for us to be able to support GSAs on the ground. And it's funny, when you say the word grant, it feels so official and it seems scary and there's paperwork. But really, what we're doing is we're offering small grants, $250, to any organization. We say GSA-like organization, so it doesn't necessarily have to be defined as a GSA, but basically a youth-led organization that is looking for funds to support the work that they do. And sometimes, say, for example, the four organizations that we supported last year, Newport High School, they were looking for some books about coming out for the Resource Center and wanted to do pizza for the Night of Noise, one of their organizations and the events that they were hosting. Or somebody wants to create t-shirts for Pride. You know, when it comes to youth-directed events, food is like a big priority. If you've got pizza there, by goodness, you're going to have people there too. So oftentimes...
I'll be there.
Exactly. No pepperoni, please.
Yeah.
And so really, anything that some funds could be used for, and it can be as like easy as pizza, or if it's like, we want to create a poster campaign and we need some money for funds, if you visit either our website, if you just Google search Oregon Safe Schools, or if you Google search PFLAG Oregon or Portland, you will see a basic application. There are some requirements that are pretty straightforward. For example, that the project should be planned and directed and implemented by youth, that there should be a school organization that sponsors that organization. So the cash is going to either like a school or an adult-led organization who helps distribute that. And just some basics. And really, there are funds for people who are here in the Portland and Tri-County area, and then also, you know, folks on the coast, never in between.
Wonderful, wonderful. And as far as maybe, is it focused more for the Portland area, out to the coast, you said? Or is there outreach or other work towards? I know it's Portland PFLAG that's involved in Oregon mm-hmm. Safe Schools here. Are you aware of any other work or maybe outreach that's going on to communities maybe outside of Portland?
Yeah, great question. So I think internally we have split up the work that PFLAG, our friends at PFLAG, have been doing more local to Portland. That's the Portland PFLAG and mm-hmm. Portland Black Chapter. And so then some of the folks that we have worked, some folks in Yahats received some funds last year. I know this year that there is a group from LeGrand that received funds that'll be coming in for GLSEN's Nike Day. So we really try to reach everybody. You know, oftentimes in rural areas or out on the coast, it's just hard to contact people. And so we look at this as another way to be able to support for our organization that's fairly small and most mostly located here in the Portland area. Mm-hmm. It's just a way that we can reach out and support. And means like KBOO, for example, are fantastic to kind of get the word out, and we certainly appreciate that.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and spreading the word for people. So there it is, youth, queer youth in Oregon, GSAs. Get involved if you need help getting started with a project or a fund. This mini grant sounds like the way to do it. Or if you want to eat some good pizza. I mean, I will show up. And yeah, it's definitely great work that's doing. I just want to kind of wrap up a little bit too. Let's can you give out the contact information, Khalil, first off, for PFLAG Black Chapter, how people get involved with that once again, just so people know how to get in contact with you or maybe even find out more information through PFLAG.
Yeah, definitely. Our website is the best place to go to get any contact information, and that'll lead you to, you know, other ways to contact through email and through our Facebook and where we're going to be at, where we're meeting at to come to our events and other ways to get plugged in. But and that is www.pflagpdx.org. That's www.pflagpdx.org.
Great. Thank you, Khalil. And thanks again for being on the phone with me here. And now, Glenn, please tell me some about Oregon Safe Schools, Communities Coalition, and contact information. How do people get involved? And if people want to, maybe, is there opportunities to volunteer time or anything like that?
Sure. Like all nonprofit organizations, we depend on the fabulous people who volunteer their time. And so we will gladly accept volunteer hours. And people's passion is what really drives organizations like ours. So if you're passionate about this topic, we'd love to speak with you. I want to give a plug before I give our contact information, and that is Oregon Safe Schools is part of a larger project right now that is contacting every school district in Oregon, which is a slightly Herculean feat for a small organization, to gather their policies to confirm if everybody is in compliance with the 2009 Safe Schools legislation. And so we could use your assistance with that. Our contact information, if you just Google search Oregon Safe Schools, and our website is OregonSafeSchools.org.
Wonderful. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you to all the youths who came in today and took over my studio. I really appreciate it and hope you come back and do it again. This is Natalie Marie, once again coming from you at 90.7 FM KBOO and Out Loud Radio. If you want to get in contact with me, hit us up, outloudradio@gmail.com. Tell me what's going on in the community. Come down here, take over the studio, and have your voice heard. But until next time, remember, live free, live proud, and always live your life out loud.
You're listening to KBOO Portland and Hard Knock Radio. We're going to be listening to the first in a series of conversations about education.
Two, three, four. Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we begin a conversation about education. It is the first in a series of talks that we will have. Our guests include Chicago educator David Staval, also Hadari Davis from Brave New Voices here in Oakland.
Jeremiah Wright Jr., you're tuned in to Hard Rock Radio.
Hard Knock, just say this is Hard Knock. Yeah, so you just got to say this is Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
This is
and Jeremiah Wright, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Yo. This is Reverend Jeremiah Wright. You're tuned in to Hard Knock. Yo, keep it real, right?